MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sloan, and I know the NBA. Today, we're hanging out with one of the NBA's most incredible big men. He's not just tall, he's a towering figure of shot-blocking wizardry and dunking prowess. And guess what? His journey from being a young, wide-eyed athlete to an absolute NBA sensation is a story that's all about hard work, bouncing back from setbacks, and flying high above that rim. This week, we're stoked to introduce you to Lob City legend, DeAndre Jordan. So DeAndre, as you know, Halloween is coming up. I'm very excited. I feel like for a teenage girl, that's like the best time of year for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to know, if you could dress up as one NBA player for Halloween, who would you dress up as?
Ooh, that's a really good question. If I could dress up as one, past or present?
Past or present.
I'm going to go with Portland Trailblazers Bill Walton.
Okay, and what would you wear?
I mean, obviously like shorter shorts, jersey, hair, beard, headband, high tube socks. I think that'll be kind of my uniform that day.
Okay, I love that. And can you take us through, like, have you ever seen someone dress up as you? And what did that costume entail?
So one year, my brothers and I, as adults, dressed up for a Halloween kind of party deal. I went as a, have you seen Cool Runnings? It's like the Jamaican bobsled movie.
No, I feel like my generation like hasn't seen any movies. Anytime anyone asks me, have you seen a movie? I'm like, no.
Oh yeah, I went in this like, I went as that, and my brother was kind of like being lazy, and he was like, can I wear this? And I'm like, I check and see, and I was like, oh wow, this is my full uniform. I was like, so sure. So he wore my Clippers jersey, shorts. He bought an NBA basketball with him, and that was his costume for the night.
All right, so I'm 16 and I just turned 16. So this will be my first episode of Sloan Knows as a 16-year-old, which is really exciting. I think you should be very flattered that you get to be on here for that.
I really appreciate that. You know, sweet 16, I'm on the show for this. And I do feel humbled to be a part of this, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being here. So at 16, what were you like as a basketball player?
Wow. I was just figuring out how to run and chew gum at the same time. So it was very, it was a learning experience for me. But I think that at 16, I was trying to just take in so much information, but also still have fun with the sport at the same time. So it was a fun time.
For sure. And then I want to know, you know, also at 16, other than being a basketball player, this is the age, you know, when you get your license. Mm. In Texas, what was the vibe there? Like, did you get your license just at 16? Did you wait? What was going on?
Well, I wanted to drive as soon as possible. So we would do things like, same. My mom would get to our street and then let me drive down the street and like park. in the driveway. So yes. Those were like great times. And then Sunday, I was like, can I drive today? Can I drive today? And she was like, not today. And it was like the world was ending for me. But it was great. But I got the whole permit, driver's ed. I did that. And I took my driver's ed test in a Toyota Corolla.
Love that. Okay.
Two other students. So that was, and I felt bad for them because I had to put my seat all the way back. So there was like no leg room.
I was just going to say, how did you fit? Yeah. At 16, how tall were you?
I was about 6'9", 6'10".
Wow. Okay. I'm just 5'4". So hopefully I get a little bit of that growth spurt, you know, but.
I was about to say, growth spurts for girls come in late. So you're good. Don't even worry about it. It's fine.
Okay, hopefully. Fingers crossed. So you pass first time?
Of course. Of course. I had a little illegal practice early, like I was saying, but I did pass. Because I was a big 10-2. I was, you know, but once you get on the freeway, that's a different beast, you know?
By the way, this is shocking. In my driver's ed, everyone kept saying to me it's 10-2. Yeah. And it's not 10-2, actually. I think now it's like 11-3 or something weird like that. Oh, wow. So like I hold it like a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. So
yeah. So it's like more middle steering wheel kinda, huh?
Yeah. Which is also funny because I don't think I can tell time on a clock. Like I don't know the last time I had to tell time on a clock. So I'm like 11-2. Like, I don't even know what that means. I'm just putting my hands where.
Yeah, it's,
but let's move on. Now that you can drive in this, like, when we're thinking back at you being 16, that's big in your life. You know, now that you can drive, I feel like you can grind more. You know, you can go to the gym more, et cetera. So what was your high school, you know, I made it moment? Or when were you like, wow, I'm going to make it to the league?
Oh, wow, that's tough. Well, AAU was a big, big deal. The AAU circuit was huge for my age and even now coming up in basketball. But I think that I had my first AAU, like big, big tournament showcase in Houston. It was a tournament called the Kingwood Classic. And it was huge. Teams from all over the nation came out and played in this tournament in like the outskirts of Houston. And I had a really good game, one game. I had a really nice dunk. And that weekend, I got a ton of scholarship offers, and throughout the rest of that weekend, a lot of college coaches who were big Hall of Fame coaches came to see me play. And after that summer, it was all up for me after that. It was great.
I'm sure. And in, you know, in that AAU tournament, or just in AAU tournaments in general for you, can you tell us a story about maybe playing against another future NBA star?
Oh, yeah. The summer circuits are insane. You play against guys, and especially in my class, against guys like Michael Beasley, Kevin Love, Derrick Rose, OJ Mayo, Eric Gordon, we got drafted together to the Clippers. So I played against all those guys in high school. But I will probably say I was most excited to play against a guy like Kevin Love because we played the same position. We were in the same high school graduating class. So playing against him in the summertime at these different camps and tournaments was really, really cool. And to say that we're still in the NBA now was a great experience.
Yeah, that's so special. And what are your thoughts? I know, like, to me, Cooper Flagg reclassing and just skipping a year of high school is so interesting. And I feel like it's not, I mean, it's something we've seen before, right? But for someone to be that dominant that he's like, I don't even need that year of development.
Right.
Was that ever something that you would have considered, or what are your thoughts on that happening now?
Well, I mean, if you're talented enough and you're physically and mentally ready to take that next step, I think why not? However, I think for me, coming up, I obviously wanted to get to the NBA, but I definitely needed that development, those 4 years of high school, that 1 year of college. I look back and I'm very appreciative and grateful that I got to go to college for a year and had that college experience with teammates, with friends who I still talk to this day. And I just, overall, I've needed that development to be able to get to the next level and be somewhere ready to play against these adults.
Yeah. And speaking, you know, of those adults, at 16, did you have any relationships with guys already in the league, or were they foreign to you? Like, were they really just gods?
They were foreign to me. They were definitely foreign to me. I I remember at a certain time it switched for me, having a favorite team, and I just went to having favorite players because I didn't want to pick a favorite team and not be drafted to that team, or just have like a, you know, like a connection and it be disappointment later in the draft. But I think that like seeing the guys that I looked up to and then finally being able to play against them did something for my confidence and for me as a player.
And then, you know, now that we're, I want to move on a little bit to your NBA career, not being 16 anymore. What was it like seeing those guys that you thought of as gods now as like your equals?
It was a shock. I will say that, to be able to, you know, idolize guys like Kevin Garnett, Shaquille O'Neal, trying to think who else, like Shaq, guys like that. And then actually be like LeBron, seeing him in high school, Carmelo Anthony, guys like that. And then to be able to play against them and be like, wow, this is not just, I'm looking at this person's highlights. Like, this is happening real life game time situation. So it was shocking at first, but then after a while, you kind of have to go into a, okay, like I can't look at it that way. I have to focus on competing against this person.
Yeah.
You know,
to lock in.
Yeah, you have to lock in. And it was an adjustment, but a good one.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm not like a 6'10 basketball prospect, but I can relate to that a little bit because, well, yeah, you know, we never know. Maybe something crazy will happen. But I can definitely relate to that because what I always say is that I think like I've been so lucky to make relationships, you know, with people like you and be able to talk to these amazing athletes. And whenever I see an NBA player on the court, my whole perception changes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I interviewed Chris Paul in a classroom at UCLA. And in that moment, I felt so comfortable. I was like, I got this, whatever. And then I saw him on the court and I was like, who is that god?
Yeah.
You know, like there's such like a thing about seeing you guys suited up on the court that's so special. Mm. But having that perception and then being like, oh, wait, that's also me.
Yeah.
Is probably, I don't even know how you could deal with that, you know?
Yeah, it's insane. There's definitely a like a on and off switch, or like it's almost like two different worlds, you know, to be able to have that separation of this is me off the court, chill, no kind of intensity, I'm just relaxed. But then on the court, it's a totally different thing because the competition aspect kicks in. And you know, sports, they take you through so many different emotions, and you see guys, the physicality of the game, the intensity of the game, the seriousness of the game at times, and people have, it's almost like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, like people have multiple personalities on and off the floor, which I think is good to have some balance.
For sure.
Yeah.
So speaking of, you know, your time in the league, what was your welcome to the league moment?
Ooh, wow. I think that I was in the weight room as a rookie. I've had plenty of these because I came into the league at 19. But like I was saying earlier, like Dirk was one of my favorite players coming up also. And we were playing against the Mavericks, and I was a young player. I wasn't really playing a lot. And we were in the weight room. I was doing like some lifts, some little cardio before the game, as all rookies do. And I saw Dirk enter our weight room, and I was kind of like freaking out. I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
It's Dirk. It's him. And I remember our weight cardio and strength guy at the time was like, I don't care who it is. You got to finish your weights. And I was kind of like, oh, sorry, I forgot. And it was just that moment made me realize, like, this is my job. And you got to be focused on your task at hand, even though that this person is somebody who you may have looked up to for a long time. You're still competing against this guy. And it was definitely welcomed me for sure.
For sure. And do you think you've ever had an experience sort of the opposite of that, where someone came up to you and asked for your autograph and you were like, you're asking me for my autograph. Like, look at you, you know?
I've had a couple of those moments, just being able to play against your peers and people who respect what you bring to the game, I think is huge, you know,
Or any celebrities, maybe?
Oh, man, that is, that's tough. I've had people tell me that they're big fans of mine, and I was kind of like, what? I didn't even know that you, yeah, it's, Yeah, that's a really good feeling to have. I can't think of one person who I was kind of like, wow. But I always tell this story. I do believe that we played against the Lakers one time when I was a rookie, and Kobe had some really great words to say to me after the game, which really, really stuck with me throughout my career, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, hearing that as a rookie is just something you'll never forget. Okay, so now we've talked about you when you were 16, you in the NBA, all that. And I want to go into this next segment. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with a beautiful man, newly to the Philadelphia 76ers, Kelly Oubre Jr.
A beautiful man.
Yes, a beautiful man. This segment is called Takes Harder Than Kelly Oubre Jr. Mm. And DeAndre, you know, when I think of Kelly Oubre Jr., I'm like, I don't think many takes could be hotter than him. Mm. But then I also think about you and I think about me, and I feel like we're both like the best people ever. So I feel like we could make takes hotter than him. What 1,000%. Do you think? You think 1,000%. That's cool?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so let's start off with this. Who in the NBA do you think has the best shoe game?
The best shoe game. Are we talking on court, off court? What are we saying?
I think on court. But I feel like if you have good shoe game on court, it's like you're also going to have good shoe game off court. You know what I mean?
That's a fact. That's a fact. I'm going to say best shoe game on court. Ooh. I'm going to have to go with Kelly Oubre Jr.'s teammate, PJ Tucker.
Of course. Classic. I mean, is there any other option? I think that that's like the number one, you know?
That's what I was about to say. It's kind of tough not to go with him, you know?
Yeah. He has a house for his shoes, so I feel like it would be almost offensive to choose anyone else. But anyways, let's keep our takes getting hot. And I want to know if you can give me a top five most underrated players to guard. I interviewed Drew Holiday a few months ago, and he told me Bobby Portis, and people love that. So I want to hear people that no one expects.
Okay. This is a really good question, Sloan. Okay, I'm going to go with this is tough. Let's go Ayo from the Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
I think he's a tough guard. I'm going to go with this is really, really tough.
That's why they're takes harder than Kelly Oubre Jr. Because like I really have to stump you, you know?
This is tough. Because it's like you can't name the obvious players. So you want to name you know, yeah, this is tough. Okay, let's go. I'm going to go one of my teammates, Christian Brown.
Yes. Okay.
Three, let's go. Jeremy Grant from Portland.
Yes, of course. He's huge. He is a big guy.
Yeah, yes, he is.
I guess no one is like huge to you though, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like.
Like, do you look at a guy that big and you're like, oh, he's so little, you know?
Oh, he's average. He's average. He's average. Yeah.
Average. Okay.
I'm going to go. Ooh, man. Rui Hachimura.
Lakers legend.
Mm-hmm. And then one more. Let's go with. Only because we played him tomorrow and I think he's a really good player, but he's not like. He's one of their best players. I'm going to go Shea. I think it's...
Of course.
Yeah, like, he's tough.
Shea's the type of guy that this segment could also be called Takes Harder Than Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. It's true. My fantasy basketball team is called Sloan Gilgeous-Alexander, and you have to make an abbreviation, so it's just SGA.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, that makes sense.
What specifically about Shea would you say you think makes him really that good? Because he went from being... I mean, you know, he's always been good, but last year he really took off. What do you think it was about him that allowed him to have that jump?
Well, one, I think for sure, like maturity, being able to, you know, go from when he was with the Clippers, he was kind of, you know, coming into his own and trying to figure out what kind of player he was going to be to come to OKC and, you know, learning with Chris quite a bit and then coming into his own as a player and like, you know, taking over this team. And I think that was pretty cool to see. But for one, you know, he's a big guard. You know, he's not short. He's tall. He gets to the spot. His mid-range is crazy. He shoots over people. He's one of the best, like, reject guys in the league. So he gets to the foul line. So he he's a very, very tough guard. And I think that he will continue to develop and, you know, be tough for a lot of teams for years to come. Yeah.
I mean, this definitely connects to you and to Shea. The Clippers draft some really talented guys, and I think a lot of them don't get their opportunities to thrive on the Clippers, especially right now because of how, you know, star heavy the Clippers are. And a guy that I've always thought that if he got the right opportunity could be similar to Shea is Brandon Boston Jr. Mm. I really think that he's extremely talented, and we've seen that with the Ontario Clippers. He's really proven right. that he's a really, really talented guy. And I think it's interesting to see what would happen to someone like him who was in a similar position to Shea if he was traded to a team like the Spurs or the Rockets.
Yeah, I see that because Brandon is, you know, he's tall, he's skilled, he's athletic. He can score the basketball really well. But I also think that, you know, with that comes, you know, a time where you can learn from guys like PG, Kawhi, to where when it is your time to either, you know, step up and take a bigger role with the team that you're on, or if you get moved or you decide to move on to a different team, that you're ready to be able to take on those responsibilities. So I do think that he is getting everything that he needs to get at this time. And then when the time is right for him to excel, I think that that'll happen. Like, it's hard for guys who are extremely talented to not be talented in this league. Like, you'll get that opportunity, I believe.
Yeah. And so, you know, right now I'm in 10th grade, 16, and I'm starting to think about college, which is a little bit stressful. I'm going to be honest with you. And I wanted to know, I feel like you're sort of a master of this college spectrum because, as we all know, you went to Texas A&M for 1 year. But then I also heard a little rumor that right now you're studying at Brown, two very different places. So I'm curious to know, which school would you suggest? You know, like, what do you think the juxtaposition is between those two places?
Oh, that is tough. You know, I haven't really seen a lot of Brown's sports programs up close. So I will say that, you know, my time at Texas A&M was awesome. And I think for that period of time that I was in as a person, as a player, trying to get to the goal that I was trying to get to, it was perfect for me at that time. Yeah. But now that I'm older and I've matured quite a bit, I think that being at Brown is something that is amazing for me, and I'm very grateful to be at this university with these fantastic and amazing professors and my peers that I'm able to learn and discuss and debate things with on a daily basis. And, you know, classmates that I consider friends at this point in time. And I think that it's great to be able to have those relationships and do it at a time where I didn't think I was going to ever go back to school.
Yeah. Well, before we move on, I just want to clarify, you'll get me that letter of rec, right? To Brown?
Oh, no question.
You'll write
that
for me?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
For sure.
I just want to make sure, like, before we move on, I got that down. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Sure, whatever you need, as long as you know that.
I want to move on to this. So, Wemby. Let's talk about Wemby, right? Mm. It's been a few games for Wemby so far, and he has been special. It's been a pleasure for me to watch. I've never seen a more dominant person in my life. It's really so cool. And yeah. I want to know, as someone who's also pretty tall and big, are you going to try to dunk on Wemby? And if so, how would you approach that?
I think at this part of my career, like, I've had a lot of dunks, and like, why not? I'm sure he's going to try to block everything that comes into the paint. He's going to try to dunk on everybody. So I think as a competitor, like, you're definitely going to try to do these things because he's going to try to do these things too. So it's something that you can't go up against a guy that big who is, you know, playing some great basketball this time. He has a great, I feel like, you know, knack for the ball. His timing is really good. So with him, you got to go to the basket aggressively. Or if not, like, it'll get set up there.
Yeah, the other day I was watching Rockets Spurs, and Jabari Smith Jr. went up for the poster. He gets denied by Wemby and tries to do it again. And I'm like, boy, what are you doing? You are getting yourself caught in something you do not want to be in. Like, you are going to be on House of Highlights, not once, but twice. And, you know, that's his way of being like, look at me, I want to get on House of Highlights. That's fine. But I feel like he should try to get on House of Highlights for another reason than getting destroyed by Wemby multiple times.
Yeah,
but
I did like the way he went to the basket aggressively. So I did like the first attempt that he had, though, because at that point, like,
yeah, I mean, he has balls. He tried it.
Yeah, you got to try it. You got to try it.
And you do.
Wimby did what he was supposed. He did what he was supposed to do, man.
He did, and he's good at doing what he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
So I like how I think we've been talking pretty positively so far, which I think is good. You know, we've given some shout outs to SGA, to Wemby, to Brandon Boston Jr. And I want to continue doing that. So my next segment doesn't really have a name, but the idea of it is all positivity. You know, I'm a teenage girl and I'm trying to bring a fresh perspective to the NBA world, which unfortunately so much of the media is so negative, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would like to highlight five special players that you have played with before, and I would like you to, like, you know, give a little compliment to your guys. Okay, so let's start off with Blake Griffin.
Not only a great teammate, but one of the best in-game dunkers and athletes that I've ever been around in my entire life.
That is the truth, and a guest on Sloan Knows, so like it adds up why he's so good.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
crazy, right? Next up, CP3, and before you give him his compliment, do you know that I have now had the whole Lob City trio on Sloan Knows? I don't think many teenage girls can say that. I'm just going to be real. I don't think many teenage girls can say that.
That is very true. I'm glad I was able to like finish that off.
So thank you. Best for last. I appreciate you. Last. Okay, let's give CP3 his compliment.
CP, probably the smartest player that I've ever played with, the point guard. And a guy who is one of the big reasons that I turned into the player that I am today.
Amazing. Now, we got to go. The Joker. Speechless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Nikola is great. Yoke, he... like one of the most selfless guys I've ever been around, on and off the floor. He truly, truly loves, you know, making his teammates better and winning basketball games. And I think that when you are, you know, the best player on the team and you have that selfless attitude, that it's truly contagious. And he's a joy to be around.
Yeah. And Does he like basketball? Like, I'm confused. Does he like basketball? Does he not? I'm confused with what's going on.
Listen, I hear this quite a bit, and I think that it's okay to be able to have an off button from basketball at times. You know, basketball is what we do. It's not who we are. And I think that having other hobbies can help you stay sane throughout your career in the NBA. You know, if he likes to not pick up a basketball for a month or two, if he wants to ride horses, if he, you know, if like, that's fine. As long as, you know, I think that, you know, even when he does take a break from basketball, he comes back and it's like he hasn't taken a break from basketball. So,
yeah,
I think that he's just fine.
I think so, too. By the way, I know why you're going to Brown. Your comments are so deep. I'm like, wow. I'm like getting overwhelmed by the intelligence.
Hey, you know what? I'm getting you ready for the curriculum that you're going to take in like 2 years.
Okay, so. Well, prayers. Fingers crossed again. Okay, next compliment is to Jamal Murray.
Ooh, man. Jamal is just, you know, first of all, Jamal's Canadian, so he's a very nice guy to be with.
Of course. Does he say sorry, like, in the Canadian way?
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sorry, okay. Love no, that. Jamal, I think, is... one of the most relentless guys I've been around. Obviously, he went through a very, very tough injury during a tough time, and he fought his butt off to get back and, you know, led us to win a championship last summer. And just his fight alone and the type of mindset that he had to get back, like, that was awesome. Yeah.
For sure. And I want to move on to another guy on the Nuggets that I – every time I watched – either the Nuggets play or the Clippers play, I always saw this guy and I was like, I feel like no one talks about how good he really is. And that guy is Reggie Jackson. And I'm curious if you have a compliment for Reg.
Yeah, Reggie's good, man. Reggie has been doing great things in this league for a long time. Back when he was with OKC and Detroit, with the Clippers, he did a really, really good job. And I think that, you know, to be able to play in different spots in this league, whether it's coming off the bench, being a starter, and being one of the main guys, to coming off the bench again, his value is so big for what he does for multiple units. And it's really great to have him back this year with us.
Yeah. And speaking of a veteran like Reggie, as a veteran yourself, you've seen so many players grow and improve over the years. You know, I know that this is your 15th season, which is like basically the span of my life, which is just a funny thing to consider, you know?
16th.
Oh, this is your 16th? Oh, so literally your NBA career and me are the same age.
This is my sweet 16 too.
Yes. Happy. Now your career can get your license. That's crazy. Your career can literally get its license. But will it pass driver's ed? I don't know.
I'm not sure about it.
Yeah. Anyways, as a veteran, is there a certain player's development and growth that you've seen that's really impressed you the most? And how do you think that they were able to evolve their game?
Wow. I think I have to go with one of my teammates now who is in our rotation, and he learned a lot last year through ups and downs, through mistakes, great times. It's Peyton Watson.
Yes.
I think that his ceiling is really, really high. He is extremely athletic. He has a knack for blocking shots, getting steals, and he can also score the basketball too. But I think right now his focus is energy and defending.
Yeah.
And doing anything he can to be on the floor. And his growth within the past year has been amazing. And he has guys like, you know, KCP, who is a great defender and a great shooter, to kind of learn from and, like, pick his brain about different things. And him and Michael Porter Jr. He's one of the best shooters we have in this league. They have shooting competitions after practice. So just, you know, guys like that he's able to kind of feed off of and learn from is gonna take him high.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems almost that sort of family connection that all those guys have is the key to winning the chip, you know, is like all you guys seem so close. And the fact that those players are wanting to and able to really mentor younger guys like Peyton shows, at least to me from the outside, why you guys are so special.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to the ending, the last hurrah. As you know, this show is called Sloan Knows. It's actually called Sloan Knows because of a commercial about Bo Jackson, but that's a whole nother story. So this segment is called Sloan Knows Your Game. But do you? So I'm going to ask you trivia about yourself, DeAndre. And you're going to have to answer. And I'm very curious to see how well you're going to do. You may be shocked to see that you will be stumped.
Really?
So let's give it a go. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
How many blocks was your high school career high?
Oh, I know this, 20.
20, yes, that is true. Wow, okay, good start. So DeAndre, shockingly, you were drafted in the second round, 35th pick. Mm-hmm. Who was drafted the 34th pick and who was drafted the 36th pick?
Can I know the team names?
I think that that's cheating. I can tell you, The guy drafted above you had a good career. The guy below you is Turkish, I believe. Those are my two, like, hints for you. Because I'm not, like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I need you to, like, grind on this.
Oh, I think the guy before me was Mario Chalmers.
Yes, that is correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the one after you, I'm sure he had a great career. I'm going to be honest. At my ripe age of 16, I have no idea who he is. So I want to know if you do.
Turkish guy after me in the draft. Gosh, that's...
Well, I think he's Turkish. His name just sounds Turkish, so I guess maybe that's a guess, but like I feel like...
Oh, that's tough. I know Mario is before me.
Do you want me to reveal?
Yeah.
In his last name, there's like a letter I've never seen before, but I think you pronounce his name Omar Asik.
Oh, yes, yeah. He played for the Rockets. Yeah. Omar Asik, yes.
Yeah. Golly. Okay. Great. Well, we got there. No offense, Omar, we love you out here. If you'd ever like to be on, come on. And you can just pretend like you don't know who the guy drafted above you was.
Yes.
Okay, next. This is a fun one. How many three-pointers have you made in your career, DeAndre? Two. Dos. Can you do me a favor? This year, I'd like you to make your third. Okay, do it for Sloan, please.
Okay. All right, Sloan, I will consider doing that for you.
Thank you. And maybe just to like make it perfect, you can do like a little heart after.
So you'll know that's for you. When I make it, I'll go like this.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
When I was in like eighth grade, or no, eighth grade was like 2 years ago. I meant like fifth grade. Wayne Ellington was in the 3-point contest, and I told him if he won to do this celebration for me. And he didn't win, but my thought is that if he won, he would have done it. Like,
okay.
Or maybe he just didn't win because he didn't want to do the celly for me. You know, like, I think, like, people are like, oh, no, he would have never done that. I'm like, no, it's just because he lost. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, if he won, he definitely would have done that for me. But please make my dreams happen better than Wayne Ellington and do the heart and hit that three, DeAndre.
If I hit a three this year, I will do it. Be
okay.
Ready.
I can't wait. This is going to – that will be good viral content. So, good. Now, okay. So, what was the lowest free throw percentage you've ever shot, and what was the highest?
The highest was, I believe, when I was in Dallas. It's like 72.4, 71 point.
A little generous, 70.5.
70.5. I was rounding up.
You were.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
And the lowest, oh my gosh, Sloan. Thirty-six.
Also being a little generous, 37.5. But it's okay. It was in your second year. I feel like you've learned from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've gotten a lot better since then. So that was, yeah. Wow. That was when you were two, Sloan.
That was when I was two. That was. So I have to be honest, DeAndre. I wasn't locked in when you were shooting your free throws in your second year. I did not see them. I'm just going to be real. But I see them now. So I actually, what's funny is I only know you as like a 70.5% free throw shooter because I wasn't like mentally here when you, yeah. So you shouldn't have even told me that because then I just would have been like, oh my God, DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, he's like a better free throw shooter than Steph Curry. And it would be like, whatever. Also, this is deep knowledge. You know who actually had a better free throw percentage than Steph Curry 1 year? Brad Wanamaker. So I'll just think of you as like the next Brad Wanamaker or something.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for that. I needed that for my confidence.
Yes. I'm sure Brad will too. I'm sure Brad will too. Okay. Now, what was your field goal percentage in the 2022-2023 season? This is crazy. It is a very good stat.
It is a very good stat. I would say 80%.
You really, I love the generosity. It's still amazing, but it's not 80,
76.5. See, I'm rounding up. I'm rounding up.
This year, the goal is 80.
The goal is 80 this year.
You are rounding, which is fine because not to be like that, right? But just like in Algebra 2, which I'm in right now, if you were rounding, you would round to 77 because you're at 76.5. You know what I mean?
Okay.
80 is like actually just, I think, a little bit of a stretch, but I get where you're going.
Yeah, I just want to be better.
Yeah, it's okay. And I know you will be. This year, we're going for 80, and then you don't have to round. Yeah. Okay, so next time you're on here when I'm 17, it'll all work out. Okay, DeAndre, this is your last question. And you've actually been doing pretty well. Like, people usually do not get this. So the last question is, how many regular season games have you played over your career, excluding, like, the two games this season?
1,019. Ugh.
So close. It's close. I mean, you're in like the area. You know what I mean? You're in the area. I need to get like a statistic of who has done the best on this. Like, I need to start grading you guys, you know? Because like, if you're a whole brainiac at Brown, like, I need to start grading you.
I think I'd be in the top.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully, I think you're up there. I'm going to grade you like a C. I'm sorry.
A C?
Awkward. It's going to take a hit to your GPA. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I think I could give you some half credit maybe. Like, for the free throw percentages, I'll give you half credit. So, like, maybe like B plus range.
Yeah. And then like the draft one, I got one of those right. So I should get half credit for that as well.
So like, I'll consider. I'll let you know. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, anyways, DeAndre, it has truly been my pleasure having you on here. I think we're like low-key now best friends. And I also think that I'm maybe like making you a better player. Like, you're going to hit a three and hit me with that heart celebration, and we're all going to know where it comes from. So thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sloan. Thank you so much. And good luck. Get your license.
Of course. To get more amazing content of me and DeAndre becoming best friends, you can either go to the link in the show notes, or you can search up in all your social medias, Sloan Knows. That's Sloan with an E, by the way.
From Jam Street Media.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.